Go ahead and be turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. I'd like for us to remember to continue to pray for Bert and Julia. They're going to be having a kidney transplant this week. And we believe that God's name is going to be glorified. Last Sunday, I started to talk to us about stepping out on faith. We looked at the story of Peter walking on the water in Matthew chapter 14. It took a lot of faith for Peter to get out of that boat, to do something that had never been done before. And basically, last week I was saying to us that if you want to walk on water, you are going to have to get out of the boat. There is no two ways about it. You and I need to step out on faith from time to time, and you'll be amazed to see what God will do when you do that. Peter did not ask for a promise. He didn't say, "Lord, promise I won't sink." Peter asked for a command. Peter did not ask for a guarantee. He just wanted an opportunity. And I think too many times, even as Christians, we want guarantees from God. We say, "God, I'll do this if you do this. I'll do this if you promise me to do this." But you see, there are times He's already told us what to do in His Word. We just need to step out on faith. And He will be right there for you. We learned very quickly from that story in Matthew 14 that there is a cost to getting out of the boat. There was the cost of potential failure. The cost of embarrassment. Feelings of inadequacy or criticism. But Peter got out of the boat. And he became ultimately the only man that ever walked on water besides Jesus. But what I want to talk about this morning is not what we talked about last week. Remember, there were 12 guys in the boat. Jesus had 12 apostles. Peter got out. So 11 stayed in the boat that we know of. They didn't step out. There is also a cost for staying in the boat. You see, they never experienced that feeling of being able to say, "You know what, I walked on water," because they stayed back in the boat. And so this morning I want to talk to us about the tragedy of unrealized potential. That's the cost of staying in the boat. There's going to be a lot of unrealized potential. None of those 11 guys could ever say, "You know what, I walked on water," because they never got out. But how does that apply to us? Let's talk about the cost of staying in the boat, the tragedy of unrealized potential. You know, a lot of times we look at someone like Peter, and it's easy to criticize and say, "Oh man, he walked on water, but then he sank." Who are you and I to talk? It's always easy to criticize when we haven't done anything. When we're sitting comfortably in our comfort zone and somebody steps out on faith and then something happens, it's so easy to go, "Oops. Man, if he had done it this way, if he had done it that way." Tonight is the Super Bowl. A lot of us, whether we like it or not, we're going to turn into Monday morning quarterbacks. "Oh, you should have done it this way. You should have done it this way. You should have done it this way. Why don't you step out there and play again?" It's so easy to sit back and watch what everybody else is doing wrong or what somebody does wrong. You got to step in the arena. Theodore Roosevelt said, "It is not the critic who counts, Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error or shortcoming. But who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself for a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat. Peter was an incredible hero for stepping out in Matthew chapter 14. This one I want to talk about the cost of sitting in the boat. Because God designed us to grow. You know, a lot of us are parents and we have kids. They're little tiny. They're very cute. You make faces, they laugh back at you. They smile, they throw up on you. And you love every minute of it. And then they grow up. 2 years old. And 4 years old. And 6 years old. And six. And eight. And goes. They're meant to grow. As a matter of fact, if you have a child that's not growing, you go to the doctor. Because you got a problem. We're all designed to grow. The same thing is true for us spiritually. That we're not meant to stagnate and just be somewhere and be in our comfort zone. We're meant to be growing. We just finished singing. Someday, we're going to be in heaven. One day he's going to call your name. One day he's going to call my name. Are you ready? Are you getting yourself ready? You know, it's awesome to watch teens. You know, they turn 16 years old. And what do? Boom, they're out to get that driver's license. Before that, they were pedestrians. Getting a ride from people. The next day, you got to be careful because you got to get out of the way. Because now they got a license. You know, they see the opportunity that, hey, man, you know what? I got to get out there. But you see, a lot of times, we don't see the potential that God's placed in us as Christians. And so we're just there going through the routine, day in and day out. That was not what you and I were designed for. Matthew 25. In beginning verse 14. We got to take risks. We got to get out of our comfort zone. We got to step out on faith. In Matthew chapter 25, in verse 14. It says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came, Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been successful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I know that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. See, I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is called the parable of the talents. You and I know that a parable is simply a story with a deep spiritual meaning behind it. And Jesus was the master storyteller. And we all know that the master in this case represents who? Come on, church. You can participate. It represents God. Who are the servants with the three, with the different talents? That's us. Okay? It's not rocket science. One got 5 talents, another 2 talents, the last one got 1 talent. You know, the NIV just says, you know, it gave them 5 talents of money. I don't know what your salary is a year. Imagine somebody giving you 10 times your annual salary. Lump sum. No taxes. You don't pay Uncle Sam. All right? 10 years. What of your wages? What would you do with it? That's what these guys got. It wasn't just some itty-bitty amount of money. We're talking a huge sum of money. I mean, you can do the math. Whatever your income is a year, multiply by 10. What if somebody gave you that right now? What would you do with it? If you said, ooh, I'm going to go spend, you're in trouble. Because we don't see anything about spending in this story. Okay? But see, again, as human beings, it's amazing. We're so conditioned to buying stuff. Again, the Super Bowl is tonight. We're going to see a lot of new commercials to get you and I to buy stuff. But see, God has entrusted us with different amount of talents. Remember, the Bible says, the story tells us, he entrusted his property to them. Do you realize that every talent you have, every skill that you have, first of all, it's not yours. God has entrusted it to you. And one day, we're going to stand before him and give an account for what we did with everything he gave to us. He's talking to disciples. Go back and read the context. This is a frightening story. It really is. Yeah, someday we get to go to heaven, but before heaven, there's going to be a day of reckoning. And I pray that none of us will be tossed out because we were wicked and lazy. And we'll say, throw that servant, worthless servant, outside where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't talk about this. We don't like to think about this. Well, I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. But there's going to be a day of reckoning. Because everything God has given us, we're going to have to account for it. So the question is, the talents God has given you, the talents God has given me, what am I doing with it? Notice, the first guy, he got 5 talents. Man, this guy saw an opportunity. Prior to that time, they were simply servants, carrying out their master's business. Their lives were routine, predictable, and safe. They had few resources and limited responsibility. Then with one act, their master changed their entire destinies. And they grabbed it. That guy grabbed it and ran with it. You know, you and I were created by God. We grew up. And then we decided to make Jesus Lord. And God not only forgave our sins, he says, you know what? I'm going to put my spirit in you. He gave us part of himself to help us along the journey. What are we doing, though, with the talents and the opportunities he has given us? You see, the chance of a lifetime is not something you and I should take lightly. We need to run with it. You know, I hope many of you got a bank account, right? You put money in the bank. And prayerfully, that account or that investment is earning you some kind of interest. Right now it's really low, but it's okay. It's going to go back up. So don't worry about that. It goes down, it's going to go back up again. Okay, so just chill. It's called economics. That's the way it works. But, you know, you put your money in the bank because you're hoping that in the future, at some point, you're going to go collect your money with some interest, right? That's the only reason you put money in the bank. Now, can you imagine you depositing money in Wells Fargo or Bank of America, or you got some investment in J.T. Wentworth or whatever it is you got, and those guys start spending your money on themselves? Oh, that's going to be trouble. I mean, they wouldn't do that. Now, some banks have gone under, you know, for all kinds of reasons, but it's not because they're spending your personal money on themselves. They made some bad investments themselves. Are you with me? But I can't imagine putting my little money I have in Wells Fargo, and then I see the teller going shopping at Mall of Georgia. Hi, Mr. Richard. I just came from Macy's. Oh, really? I went to spend some of your money. That would never come up. Right? You see, when God gives us stuff, and God blesses us with talents, and we're spending it ourselves, that's exactly what we're doing. This is serious stuff. Now, God has blessed us with all kinds of skills and all kinds of talents. God expects us to use it and multiply it to his glory, not ours. Are you with me? That money you got, or the ability to make money, that talent you got, is not for your benefit. God expects you to use it, to multiply it, to glorify his name, because one day you and I are going to give an account for that money. Notice, in this story, there are no zero talent people. See, again, that's another lie we tell ourselves. I'm not that talented. I got no talent. You liar. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. That's a lie that you've been telling yourself. Again, notice, one guy got 5 talents. Another guy got 2. Another guy got 1. The Bible says, each according to his ability. Who determined that? God. See, again, sometimes we're sitting there going, God, how come you didn't give me 5 talents? Is it because he knew already that you're not going to do anything with it? Instead of using what God has given us, we're busy looking outside, going, you know, I wish I had his talent. No! I don't want your talent. I got mine. You got yours. We got to use whatever it is God has given us to his glory. Amen? Amen? That's what it's all about. And so I'm asking you this morning, what are you doing with the skills, with everything God has blessed you with? Amen. Are you just sitting in the boat comfortably, like the 11? Or are you going to step out on faith like Peter and do something? Remembering that one day you and I are going to give an account. Church, this is one of the things that keeps me going every day. I'm serious. My eyes pop open in the morning. It's like, uh-oh, I'm still here. One day I'm not going to be here. I'm very conscious of it every day. Okay, Lord, you give me another day. What am I going to do with it? How am I going to spend this day? To your glory. We got to be thinking about it every day, because one day you're not going to wake up Your wife or your husband, your kids are going to come. They're going to shake you. And they're not going to move. The Lord are taking you. Are you with me? See, every single day, God gives us a new beginning. He allows us to start afresh. We got to take advantage of what He's blessed us with. Amen? You can't bury your talent. Notice the guy with the five talents. The Bible says, at once, he took off. We've all been entrusted with different gifts. I mean, every Sunday, for instance, brothers and sisters are up here leading us in worship. They're singing. They're getting us to move. You know, Tommy was trying to get us to shake some of that junk food we're going to be eating out tonight. That was all that exercise. That was what all that was for, in case you didn't know. I'm just kidding. But these guys are very talented. I don't have that kind of talent. Me? Play the guitar? It's not happening. I don't have that. I don't even know where to start. I mean, where do I put my fingers? I don't know what to do. But these guys do. I mean, you see Thomas on the drums. I don't know how he does it. You know, he's doing this. And at the same time, this is moving. I don't know what that thing is called that is banging over here. And over here with the right leg, you know, he's moving the cymbals that are clashing. You know, and then he's doing all the same. I mean, it's like, that is amazing to me. I don't know how he does that. I can do one thing at a time. That's just, you know, that's just who I am. I mean, you see Melvin in the middle over there? You know, doing his thing and... He's a very talented fella. I'm going to embarrass him a little bit. He used to play for the Temptations. He's that talented. The kids are like, who are the Temptations? I know you live in the age of YouTube. You go Google YouTube. They're going to bring up some videos. Dun, 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 dun. I mean, those guys were some. They were something else. That was music. Don't get me started. All this stuff you people are doing today, I'm calling it music. That ain't music. People are talking and rapping and they're telling you what they're doing and you pay for that? It's like... you got to hear some bass, man. Some trumpet. Now that's music. So Mr. Richard, start rapping. I don't even know where to start. I don't know how to do it. I have to be honest with you. I can't hear it. When they're rapping, I can't hear a word they're saying. Like, what did you say? Hey, I'm from a different generation. I feel sorry for y'all. I really do. But the point I'm making is these guys are very talented. I'm not trying to be like Melvin. I couldn't even if I tried. I never forget the day Jerome and Andrea moved over here several years ago from Florida. And they came in and said, you know what, we'd love to place membership and everything. And he goes, oh, by the way, I play the piano. If he hears it, he can play it. That's amazing to me. Did you know Michael Jackson could not read music? He couldn't read music. He said, how could he do all that stuff? It was all in his head. That's how much talent God gave to him. Paul McCartney, one of the Beatles, he can't read music either. Did you know that? He hears it, he can play it. That's talent. So I want to be like Paul McCartney. Well, God bless you. I'm serious. The point is, whatever it is that God has given to us, what are we going to do with it? We're so busy looking at what we don't have instead of looking at what God has given to us.
and deciding what are we going to do with it.
You know, there's a show on PBS called The Antiques Roadshow. Every once in a while, you know, I'm switching channels and I see it. And I love to watch it. Because what you find is people bring their antiques into that show. And they have professionals there who will come in. Somebody comes in and goes, you know, this used to be in my family. And my great-grand-aunt gave it to my grandmother. And then she gave it to my mom. And when she died, she passed it on to me. You know, it's just been sitting in the attic. And, you know, I don't know how much it's worth. Can you tell me what it's all about? And it's amazing to me. These guys are standing there going, yeah, you see these little pieces over here? This was way back in the 17th century. I'm like, how in the world does he know that? And this and this, and look at this detail, and this and this and this and this and this and this. Oh, this is worth $70,000. And you can see the look on people's face like, ooh. It's been sitting in the attic all this time. They had no idea how valuable what they were sitting on. You see, we got to discover what God has given us so that our talents are not just sitting there dormant. We're going to need to do something about it. Amen? You see, every human being is going to live for something. The question is, what are we going to live for? And will it be worth it? And so I don't know. I don't pretend to know all the talents that God has given to you. All I do know is that you better be using it to glorify God's name. You better be producing something with it because you're going to give an account one day. I will give an account one day. Amen? We all have different talents. You know, when I was a kid, I'm talking way back as, you know, 10, 11 years old. It was very obvious to all my friends and my classmates that I had a very deep voice. And a loud one, too. And they would make fun of me that, oh, here comes Papa with his amplifier. Now, I'm a preacher now. You know, that's all I do. And I really believe that God gave me this voice for a reason. As a matter of fact, Mark, do me a favor. Shut off that mic. Shut off my mic. Just for 1 second. Just turn it off. Can you hear me in the back, Danny? You can hear me, right? And I'm not shouting. I got an amplifier in this voice. Guess who put it there? God did. I better be using it. You can turn it back on now. Okay, I don't want to lose my voice. Praise God for amplification. But you see, whatever talents God has given us, we need to be using it. In Ephesians 2, the Bible talks about how we've been saved by grace. Through faith. Not by works, so that nobody can boast. But it does talk about where we've been saved to do good works. So that's where our talents come in. See, I think sometimes we get it mixed up. We're meant to be using everything God has given to us. You're not trying to earn your salvation. You already have it. It's been given to you and I. It's free of charge. But we're created to do good works. To do action. Are you with me? It's amazing to me in that story. Notice. The guy with the one talent. He didn't get into trouble because he did something bad. He didn't get into trouble because he did something wrong. He got into trouble because he did nothing. You see, when you're doing nothing, you're in trouble. God expects us to be doing something. Amen? God entrusted you and I with his property. And we should stop comparing our talents with other people's talents. You know, at the end of every year, most jobs, they will give you what is called a performance review. And a lot of it, too, is tied to your bonus. You know, where your boss, your supervisor, they're going to evaluate you. And so you better be a good employee. Because they're watching. And they'll give you that performance review. And praise God, you did great, awesome. And sometimes the bonus they give you will reflect it. Brothers and sisters, the ultimate performance review is coming.
And hear me out on this. God will not judge you on somebody else's talent. God is not going to judge you on what your wife or your husband or your kids did with their lives. God is going to judge you and I based on the talents that He has given to us. Are you with me? We got to make sure that we're producing. We're being everything God wants us to be. Because we're going to give an account for what He has given to us. We got to get out of our comfort zones. He's going to be a preacher. He's got a good voice. He's going to be reminded one day when he grows older. You see, when teachers want students to grow, they don't give them the answers. They give them more problems. That's how you and I grow. It's through challenges. It's through adversity. We shouldn't wait for God to give us the answers and to make things all comfortable for us. It doesn't work that way. This story is very convicting to me. Did you notice? The guy who got 5 talents, the Bible says he produced 5 more. And what did the master say? Come in and enjoy your master's happiness. The guy who got 2 more. The guy who went and buried his talent got into trouble. As a matter of fact, he got tossed out. They took his talent and gave it to the guy with 10. Say, wait a second, he's already got 10. And notice what it says. He says, to whom much has been given to? What does he say? For whoever who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Remember, he's talking about the other side. What does that tell you? When you and I get to heaven, believe it or not, there's going to be grades of rewards based on what you've done with this life. That's what the Bible teaches. We are not all going to get the same reward. It's all going to be dependent on what you did over here with what is given to you. That's why we got to get and take this thing very seriously. Your eternal standing before God depends on it. You know, I want you to imagine God takes you from this life. Your time is done. And you're right there on the other side, locked up in a room. And they're about to play DVD. I don't know what kind of stuff they're using to record all this stuff, but we'll go with DVD for now. But on the title of that DVD, it's titled, What You Might Have Become. And the plate. And you're sitting there and you're watching your life, what you could have been, what you might have been. You're watching it on tape. I don't know about you, that would kill me. That would just tear me to pieces. Realizing the potential that God has given to us. We all have kids. A lot of us. We understand what this means. We're raising them up. We're spending lots of money. Why? So that they can grow up and be everything God wants them to be. How would you feel? Here you are, you're putting your time and your effort and all your money. And your child grows up and amounts to nothing. That will break your heart. I don't care how spiritual you are. God feels the same way. He's our Father. We're His children. He's pouring all His resources into us. He expects us to produce. He expects us to use it to glorify His name. Amen? Because one day we're going to have to give an account for it. We can't sit in the boat and be afraid to take chances. There was a man named David Livingston. He was a Scottish missionary to Africa back in the 18th century. And he went out there preaching God's word all over the place to a lot of natives who did not know God, who did not believe in God. And one young man from Scotland wrote to him saying how he would love to come join the mission. And Livingston replied him saying, you know what? There are no roads out here. As a matter of fact, we ply the path and, you know, we create the new paths and create the roads as we go into the interior, spreading the word. And the young man wrote back to Livingston and said, you know what? When you guys have built the roads into the interior, let me know, then I'll come join you. Livingston replied, if you have men who would only come if they know there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there is no road at all. You see, too many times we're waiting for other people to clear the path and to show the way. Why don't you create your own way? Ralph Waldo Emerson said once, do not go where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail. Let's use the talents God has given us. I pray that when our time does come, that God will be able to look at every single one of us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now come in and enjoy your master's happiness. God bless you all.
God, thank you this morning to letting us be over here listening to your word. Thank you for the great message that we got. And thank you this morning because we want to just say that all these talents that you've given us, we can realize it and put it in action. Thank you, sir, because you have given us too many things in our lives and sometimes we don't even use them. So let us reproduce them in whatever you've given us this morning. And coming out from here, thinking in what we have to reproduce. And too many people over there that they don't have due hope. Thank you very much. If you are a medic, if anyone of here is a doctor, of a teacher, of architect, or a lawyer, or whatever it is. Let us use this for your glory, for whatever you need from us, and don't let us bury it into the ground. Te damos muchas gracias, Señor, en esta mañana, porque especialmente, Dios, a personas como yo nos has dado la oportunidad de poder hablar otro idioma. Gracias porque me diste la oportunidad de poder hablar español. Y muchas gracias, Dios, porque tú nos has dado una esperanza y a través de eso, Dios, es un talento y una herramienta, Señor, para poder alcanzar a otras personas. Le ruego, Señor, que cada uno de nosotros busque en sus corazones y cada cosa que tú nos has dado, Padre, para poder reproducirla y usarla como herramienta, si somos jóvenes, si somos cualquier cosa que tengamos al alcance para poder, Padre, reproducirlo en otras personas, para que puedan tener tu esperanza. Llévenos con bien a nuestras casas, Padre, y ayúdenos a tomar este mensaje personalmente a cada uno y no salir de la misma manera en la que entramos. En Jesús te oramos. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.